Hello and welcome to a TMC podcast. My name is Rich Tarani. I am the president and the group editor-in-chief of TMC, as well as the group editor-in-chief of TMCNet. And on the line, I've got the distinct pleasure of having Joe Staples, who's the senior vice president of worldwide marketing of Interactive Intelligence. And I should just note for the record that today is the 25th of July, a beautiful Friday. And Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Rich. Thanks.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, why don't you just share with us where you're located for those that are interested?
So Interactive Intelligence is located in Indianapolis, Indiana, headquartered there and founded there. And physically, I'm actually speaking to you from kind of a partly cloudy Salt Lake City today.
Oh, great. Now, for those people who may not be aware, I've known your company for, is it 12 years? Is it 11, 12 years, something like that, that your company's been around?
Maybe even longer. Company's 14 years old.
Yeah, so I've known your company from the beginning, and I'm sure most of my listeners and readers would know the company as well. But for those that don't, why don't you just give us a 90-second overview?
Sure. As I mentioned, company founded in 1994 by Dr. Don Brown, and really kind of started out with the mission of seeing how inefficient communications were at that time, and almost kind of could consider a lot of that legacy still around today, with people deploying multi-point products, you know, a server for a PBX and something else for ACD and something else for speech recognition. And Dr. Brown's vision was that wasn't the right way to do it, and all of this could be built on a single platform with just applications layered on top of that. So now we're about $110 million. We're a publicly traded company, and we really, with this single platform and single code base, we go after three main markets, enterprise IP telephony, contact center, and enterprise messaging.
Fantastic. So you must, with a strong core of development, you must have some interesting things coming down the pike. What sorts of products do you have on the horizon?
Yeah, we really do. Our company, you know, I would certainly consider us a pretty strongly technology-driven company. We constantly are looking for how to be a first-to-market with some specific technology and kind of push that envelope. We spend a lot on R&D, reinvest a lot of our revenue back into R&D. So some of the cool things, we just announced an integration with Microsoft Office Communications Server. And, you know, I think your listeners would say, yeah, I've heard a number of those, but the biggest thing that we're doing differently is we're actually doing presence synchronization. So someone that was running our Interaction Center platform, say in the contact center, and was running Microsoft OCS throughout the other part of the enterprise, there's synchronization between the presence engines of those two products. So if you were, Rich, you were working in the finance department, and I was an agent in the contact center, you could still see my presence or my status. I could see yours. We would be looking at a common company-wide directory. So if you think about, you know, kind of the vision or the promise of unified communications, this is really starting to get there. Excuse me. So we're pretty excited about that. We also introduced a new version of our interaction dialer, version 3.0, that adds some pretty cool functionality, things like skills-based dialing, where you can actually better match up the skills of the agent with the call that's being placed and connected. And then one other thing to mention, a product that we have named Interaction Feedback, which is an automated customer satisfaction survey module. Again, runs as just another application on our Interaction Center platform. But the nice thing about that is that's really one of the key metrics that are that's missing for businesses. You know, they do all kinds of internal measurements of how fast agents answer calls and how efficient they are at shortening the duration of the call, but they're missing kind of this voice of the customer. And oftentimes it's either time-consuming or too expensive to go out and capture that. This automates all of that process by gathering data in an automated fashion at the end of a call or an interaction.
So I think you had something like that before, though, or is that? So it's not, it's at the end of the interaction now. That's what makes it different.
I think probably the biggest challenge or the biggest difference, is we used to be able to create those, but they were pretty challenging. I mean, it took some programming to be able to do that. Now it's straightforward, done with a wizard interface to set up the surveys. We've included a survey library of questions and best practices. So we think we just made it a lot easier for customers.
Oh, and that's always important. The easier, the better, right, these days?
Right, exactly.
People are so strapped for time. So we know that interactive intelligence has been the pioneer, really, in unified communications. I mean, it's a big buzzword now, but your company was over a decade ahead of virtually everyone else, which is amazing. How do you see your future role in the development of the UC space?
So I think we certainly would point out up front that we think UC is just a very overused, misunderstood term, that because of the momentum and the hype behind it, everybody's lobbing on to UC, and they're not really doing what UC really is all about. So somebody will come out with an IP-PBX, and they'll say it's unified communication, it's just kind of muddied the water. So we've really worked pretty hard at staying out of that that hype cycle, and instead really focusing on what we think customers are looking for in the reality of what UC could be. And for us, that means automating business processes. So you think of what an ACD does relative to capturing information up front, routing a call or an email to the right person. All of that can be done with other kinds of business processes as well. So for example, if someone was processing a warranty claim, the core functionality of what we have in these communication systems can facilitate automating that business process, making sure that the steps are taken, it's then passed to the next phase or the next person, and that it's the right person that it gets to, that you have full end-to-end reporting of all of those things. So kind of looking, I guess for us, it's really kind of peering beyond whatever hype and frenzy there might be around the term UC, and really focusing on, what are people looking for? They're looking for, how do I automate my business processes and utilize the communications infrastructure to do that?
Great. Now, I know that your company is working with others in this space, and I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing just what sorts of partnerships you have in the market and who's working with you to help you get to the next level.
Yeah. Though we have this all-in-one platform that does all these great, fantastic things, we certainly don't make up the every component of what someone would be looking for. So the most glaring thing is we don't manufacture telephones. So we've partnered very closely with Polycom as our primary go-to-market partner on those telephony endpoints. I think we were probably their number two or number three provider of IP telephones last year. So they're a key partner for us. Microsoft is certainly a very key partner. We're a gold partner, managed directly. As you know, I think they're the last number I saw from Microsoft. They've got about 14,000 partners, and they manage directly about 100 of those, and we fit in that top level of those 100 direct managed partners. So we work with them on go-to-market activities, lead generation activities, and then work pretty closely with them on product development. This OCS piece is a good example. We've done some great work with them relative to integrating our product with Microsoft Exchange, unified messaging. So they're a good partner. Nuance on the speech side, and then some of the other underlying technology partners like Audio Codes for providing gateways and other peripheral devices. But clearly, we kind of live in a technology ecosystem that requires the development of those kind of partnerships.
That's great. So you mentioned that you try to listen to the customer and provide the solutions, and I guess if you're really proactively listening, then you must have a great bead on what the top of the list items are for your customers and prospects. And I'm curious, and I'm sure the listeners on the podcast are curious as to what those might be.
Yeah, and that's certainly a big challenge, is to how do you keep your finger on the pulse of the customer to know what's important to them and what they're planning to spend their money on, and on a ongoing basis, we're constantly in front of customers and prospects asking those exact questions. The easier answer is, what's not on the top of their list. Some of the things that might surprise listeners, you hear a lot about video relative to the contact center and more personal point-to-point video. We're not seeing that. We're seeing curiosity is probably a better word for that. Mobility, the mobility applications, a lot of talk around them, but when it comes down to it, still a low adoption curve. I think that some of the things that we're hearing, certainly the migration to voice over IP is still in full force and going very strong. We talked to a Gartner analyst last week, and they estimate for the contact center that the penetration, actual adoption of voice over IP by agents in contact centers is still around 15%.
Wow.
That was a number that kind of surprised us. We probably would have pegged it more around 35%. So given the fact that, the migration to voice over IP has probably been in full force for, I would guess, about 4 years, we still got a market with a whole lot of growth in it. So that migration is still kind of one of those top of mind items. Presence management is clearly a real important one as CIOs and IT executives look at how do I connect the entire enterprise using tools like presence management to gain more efficiencies. We're still seeing a very big migration from old legacy voicemail systems. So Octel, Centigram, VMX, those things are finally hitting, the last breath of end of life. And so we're seeing a big migration to people moving to next generation messaging systems.
Now, I haven't heard those names in a while. In the same sentence, I think the last time I heard those names were back when you and I were in the unified messaging space in the mid-90s.
Right, yeah. The good thing is there's still a lot of those out there. they're just not going to have support for them. Bases were bought up by other vendors. And so there's a pretty big churn in that space going on, which is good for vendors like us that sell into that space. I think the last top-of-mind item that we're seeing is still, again, focused on the contact center, but how do they make agents more effective in their jobs to reduce turnover, looking at, you know, remote agent strategies and those kinds of things. And so much of that gets facilitated by IP telephony, things that you just physically couldn't do before, you now can when you're running on an IP network.
That's great. So do you think that customer service is improving over the last 5 to 10 years? I mean, I know there are surveys, and I've covered this, and we've likely discussed it, but I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
I definitely think it's improving. I think if you look at kind of the current economic conditions that we're in, I think that'll force additional improvements in customer service. When businesses are doing great and they're kind of fat and happy, not quite as concerned or worried about customer service. When things get tight, they really start drilling into, you know, how do we keep our customers. But I think over the last while, I mean, you think of some of the nightmares that you used to have as a consumer. A lot of those have gone away. You know, speech recognition has improved so much. A lot of the automated systems are so much better. I think the training of agents has improved, and the use of technology so that they know, you know, why you're calling and what you bought from us last time. I think all of those things have contributed to improvements in customer sat.
Great. So in terms of the economic environment, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on just what sorts of effects there may be on business or the market.
So again, I'd kind of go back to my earlier comment around focus on customer satisfaction. Fortunately for us as a company, you know, we're still growing at double-digit growth rates year over year. We're still profitable. But as the economy kind of slips down a little bit, I think it causes businesses, the people that we do business with, to retrench a little bit and say, you know, what are the core things that we're really going to focus on? And I think they're twofold. One is keeping and satisfying their customers, and the second is how can they be more efficient and enable their business to reduce costs. Fortunately for us, we think that's what our technology is all about. I mean, providing our customers the ability to better service their customers and then to be much more efficient in their communications to where they can reduce costs. I'll give you one example. We constantly compete with companies, multiple companies that have either acquired a lot of technology or multiple vendors who are putting in a part of the solution. And if you think about having to learn different administrative interfaces, having to employ different administrators, either in the contact center or the IT group to maintain all these different boxes compared to a single platform, We had a study done where, for a 250 agent contact center, if they buy their products from multiple vendors, on average, they would require 14 administrators to administer all of those systems. If they buy from a quote unquote all in one vendor, like us, that number goes down to 2. So you're just being much more efficient. You're able to reduce costs and ultimately satisfy your customers a bit better.
That's great. So I'm curious about some of your international expansion. So today was an interesting day because China announced that its web surfing population has grown more than 50%, and they now have surpassed the U.S., the world leader in web surfing. And it leads me to wonder, just in terms of what geographies may be doing very well for your company, and which ones may not be doing as well.
Yeah, I think we still sell about 55% of our business comes from North America, but outside of North America, we've done really well in Germany, in the Netherlands, and in South Africa. Those are probably our three biggest markets. And if you think of, you know, South Africa, it's probably a surprise to most people that would show up. But a lot of that has to do with the partner that we attracted there and the amount of mind share and market share we could get. Other investments for us, highly focused on the UK, Japan, and Australia. Japan's an interesting market, number two economy in the world. We don't think that we've really gotten our fair share out of that market, but just a great place to do business. I mean, they recognize the value of software. They pay on time. They renew maintenance contracts. So
all good things.
All good things. good place to do business, and certainly, you know, some of the other geographies that have been touted as great opportunities. You know, one of the challenges for a vendor like us is, but you know, if they're looking for 80% and 90% discounts off of software, or the piracy rates are outrageous, you know, that's an environment that we're going to steer clear of.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm curious about the Outrageous Interactions contest. Why don't you let me know, or let the listeners know, a little bit about how that works? I've blogged about it before, but just in case someone didn't see those entries.
Yeah, and that's you know, it's kind of on the fun side of what business and technology is all about. The reason we started this contest is so often, and you referred to, you know, has customer service improved over the last 10 years? Every year, a major network will do a piece on poor customer service, and they'll talk about, you know, consumers calling into contact centers and either getting put on hold forever, can't reach the right person, getting caught up in self-service voicemail jail, they call it.
Right.
Our approach was, you know, those are exceptions. The contact center space is a space that employs really good agents that are, you know, have a pretty difficult job. So we kind of, in a fun way, flipped this around and said, what are the outrageous, zany, wacky, goofy interactions, calls that the agents have received over the last few years, and let's publicize those. We're giving, you know, the one that is deemed the most outrageous, we're giving that agent a trip for two to Hawaii. We've got a nice panelist or group of judges, you included, to select these, and they are hilarious. You know, anything from cockroaches to dead cows to funerals for goldfish to callers proposing and ending up marrying the agent that they talked to. I mean, just some weird and wacky things, but a lot of fun. Anybody that's listening, you can go out to www.outrageousinteractions.com, read more about the contest. We'd certainly, through the end of August, invite people to submit any outrageous interactions they have, and then we're going to go into a people's choice voting, where there's online voting for the favorite ones, and then on September the 17th at Internet Telephony Expo in Los Angeles, we're going to announce on stage the winner and share some of the funny stories that we've gotten over the last few months.
Now, I should just mention that the panel, who's on the panel, and I'm just looking at the list right here, and according to the website, it's subject to change, but I'm on the panel. Dr. Don Brown is on the panel. Claudia Hathaway, the editor of CCF and ECCF magazine, Art Rosenberg, Blair Pleasant. That's the list of judges at this point, right?
Yeah, there's a couple more that might not be listed out there, but all of them are you know, kind of fall into the category that you fall into, which you either or are an editor or a high profile analyst or consultant that lives in this converged communication space. So we think we assembled a good group to pick the finalists.
And I just can't wait. I mean, you've really whetted my appetite to take a look at these submissions, and it should be a lot of fun. And where are you announcing the winners?
So we will post the finalists after the judges have picked them. We'll then do a People's Choice selection where people can vote online, read through the short list, and then at Internet Telephony Expo September 17th on stage. We will share the winner's story and maybe a little bit about some of the other wacky ones that we received, and we'll announce the winner on stage at your show.
That's great, and that's the Los Angeles show. For those people who may be interested, they can just go to itexpo.com. And of course, Joe, thanks for the show plug.
I
appreciate that, and we love to work with companies as innovative as yours, coming up with interesting ways to not only educate the audience, but at the same time, like you mentioned early on, entertain them. And this should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. So are there any last minute things or last parting ideas that you want to share with the listeners?
You know, I just think it's a great time to be part of this industry. As a company, I think we're enjoying a lot of success and enjoying being a part of all of this. It's, you know, as I look back, my career's 25 years, and as I look back, I think, you know, things haven't ever moved as fast, but haven't ever been as fun either. So appreciate the time that you've taken with me.
My pleasure, and you've been listening to a TMC podcast, and the date is the 25th of July, 2008. We've been speaking today with Joe Staples, who's the Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing for Interactive Intelligence. My name, again, Rich Tarani, and for more information on me, please visit Tarani.com or my company's website at TMCnet.com, and for more on interactive intelligence, Joe, ININ.com, if memory serves.
Yep, brand new site launched less than 30 days ago.
All right, so that sounds like a definite reason why anybody who listens to this podcast should immediately, as soon as they get back from walking their dog or being on the train, they should get to a laptop or a computer and log on to your site. So thanks a lot, Joe. It was great talking with you, and you have a wonderful day.
Great. Thank you.